Hi, reader. Welcome to the Something Bookish podcast. I actually thought I was going to be able to carry this. Apparently, my vocal training is failing. Oh my God. I'm one of these days, I'm going to give you opera style. Is it opera? Opera style entrance to the podcast. You know what? I'm going to find a producer. And I'm going to record a proper opening to this podcast. See, once my money should drop, the plans I have for you, your ears are going to come. You're going to come from your ears. Did you imagine the visual? Also, like, what do you think will come out of your ears if it wasn't like a medical issue? If you were to come from your ears, what do you think will come out? Do you think it will still be the white, not the white, but like the milky thingy? Like, what do you reckon it to be like if you could come from your ears? Also, what would have to happen for you to come from your ears? Huh. I don't know. It just randomly popped. And this is not in the script I had for this episode, I promise. This just randomly popped into my head. But like, think about it a bit. What kind of substance would come out of your ears if you could actually have a proper eargasm, like you could come from your ears? Think about it and let me know what you think, okay? All right, great. Now I'm going to do this opening again. Hi, readers. Welcome to Something Bookish Podcast. My name is Amin, a.k.a. Lip Gloss Mafia, a.k.a. the Crazy Book Lady, a.k.a. your bookish bestie. On this podcast, I talk about all things books and reading, from book lists to reviews, musings, tips and tricks, and the occasional guest chat. So think of this space as a virtual lounge, but for bookish people who are very chill and cool and cultured, obviously. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the dark side. And if this is not your first time listening to the podcast, hey, how you doing? Readers, this is episode 57 and it's a tips and tricks one, okay? Because I will be sharing how to choose a book to read when there's so many options in front of you, okay? Well, this is an episode for how to choose what to read next. Because goddamn it, man, the options, there's so many options. And so much to do. Yeah, so this is my service to world peace. I will be sharing my tips and tricks on how you can choose your next read. Okay? So, before we get into that though, a little housekeeping. This is the first thing I have to share in my housekeeping list is I've been getting messages about collaborations, but these messages never have what the collaboration is about. Like, okay, let me read a recent one I received. And by recent, I mean like a few minutes ago before I started recording. Hi, Amin. Would you like to collaborate on a book contest? The winner gets a book from their wish list, and I think members of your community will be interested in participating. Let's chat if you're interested, then I can provide you with the details. As you've listened to this message, what do you think the collaboration part is here? Because when I see messages like this, I wonder what made this person come to my page. Like, what was the draw? I mean, yeah, okay. It's a nice, catchy page. It's lovely. There are books. But what made that person comes what's made that person come specifically to my page? Okay? Because if you're going to ask someone to collaborate with you, that means there's something in for you and there's something in for that person. Both parties are going to gain something from the collaboration. And I feel like just throwing the verb collaborate into a message doesn't turn it into a collaboration, you know? Otherwise, you're just asking for a favor. It's a request. You want me to do something for you. That this message comes off to me. I don't know if I'm overreacting to this, but that message to me comes off as a request. They want me to run a contest on my page on their behalf so that people get stuff off their wish list. Because what do they think my followers will be enjoying in stuff like that? And look at the landscape. Book content. You know what? Maybe it's just me overreacting. I think it's just me overreacting. But just look at it this way. If you're ever going to reach out to another creator for a collaboration, proper research is needed. You've gone through their page. You've seen if they've done contests or giveaways or collaboration gigs in the past. If you don't see that, look at how they interact with their followers or the kind of things they post. What do you think you can offer to them before you message them about what you want from them? Did that make sense? In my head, as I was thinking it, it was making sense. But now, as the words have come out of my mouth, I feel like I was rambling at that particular point. I'm not sure if I made sense, but I am confident that as a listener of the Something Bookish podcast, you can decode the meaning of what I wanted to say. Right? Okay. So, that's about the collaboration business. I'm open to collaborations, but if you're going to come into my DMs to say, let's collaborate, you have to let me know from the get-go what I'm going to gain from doing something with you. Does that make sense? All right. Let's see, next up. Yes, the work continues. Okay, please support my ministry by buying me a digital cup of coffee or tea. If you like my content, either here or on Twitter or Instagram or the book club, or you follow any of my IG pages, please support me by buying support me by buying me a cup of coffee, you know, just to be like, I mean, you're doing great, thumbs up. And this cup of coffee, I usually don't use it to buy coffee. I will probably put it into running the pages that I'm doing, because I'm doing it as a non-profit, so I need all the support I can get. Now, if you follow me on Instagram or Twitter, there's a link in my bio that would lead you to a page. And that page only accepts payments in the Nigerian Naira. But if you're outside Nigeria, all you need to do is convert how much you would like to donate from your currency to the Naira. For example, if an average cup of coffee is like $4 and you convert that, I think that would give, say, well, a dollar right now is 700 Naira. So let me not deceive myself that I'm trying to do mathematics without a calculator. But you know what I mean. Just convert the amount you would like to donate to my ministry to the Naira, and then you can put that in the payment thingy. And you know what they say? What was I even trying to say? I can't remember. But once you put the thing you're supposed to put in the thing for supporting me in the Naira form, just click pay and add your PIN. Oh my God. Wow. I think I might have taken too much before starting. I normally pace myself right, so that I don't start rumbling and saying nonsense. Look at, I'm still doing the intro. We've not even gone far into the episode and I already don't know what I'm saying. See, this is why you should always have a script when you're recording a podcast. Notes for anybody who is trying to start a podcast. Make sure you have a script, especially if you're doing a podcast where you're drinking. All right, next up on the housekeeping agenda. Ooh, the Something Bookish Reading Challenge. We are in July. now, 2023. So if you want to do something yummy and fun with your reading, Google something bookish reading challenge or check it out on Storygraph. There's a link in the show notes. You can participate in the challenge to spice up your reading, you know? That's what we do here. We spice up our reading because we're spicy people. Also, please don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter. Is it newsletter or newsletter? Oh, God, English. Oh, my God. Anywho, subscribe to my newsletter. Yeah, the link is in the show notes. Or you can just Google something bookish newsletter and it will pop up because I've been working really hard on my SEO. Boom, that's what I'm doing. Wow. So for this episode, I'm drinking rum. Just no mixers, just rum, because your girl has been going through it, okay? And I think by far this is like the longest intro I've ever done for any episode on the Something Bookish podcast. I apologize for that. No, I don't apologize for that. This is what you signed up for when you pressed play. So I'm giving you what you need. This is it. Okay? All right. Without further ado, let's talk books, shall we? So, learning how to choose what book to read next is an important part of the reading experience. And I know it can sometimes be a challenge. There are a couple of things you need to know in order to make these decisions quicker. So, to all the girlies who find it tough making decisions, this episode is definitely for you. Yeah? First of all, we need to understand why it is difficult to choose what to read next. There's a number of reasons, and knowing and understanding themselves is the first step on how to make everything easier for you. Because if you don't know what your problem is, you can't solve it. Now, this I feel like these two reasons I'm about to mention are the most popular that I've noticed from my own experience and from other readers. The first one is the hangover, the book hangover. Oh my God. So, finishing an amazing book can leave many of us devastated to a certain extent. Can you remember how I felt? I was talking about when I finished Greenbone Saga. I couldn't go on in life. I felt like there was no other book that was going to keep my attention the way that book kept me. Okay? So I did suffer a book hangover. And as the name suggests, the term is used to describe a lingering feeling that the reader has after finishing a book, especially after reading a sexy saga or, you know, something entertaining and very engaging. And one of the symptoms of the book hangover is the fact that people continue thinking about the book they finished, and this renders them unable to consider starting a new one. So if you start a book while you're book hungover, it's not going to work out well. It won't work out well at all. So I think that might be the first reason. The second one is we always trying to find a book that is better than the last book we read. So, while using the term addiction might be harsh, I mean, we are addicted, but reading is addictive. So, and it's an activity that, okay, how should I put it? Being involved in an activity that we enjoy usually leads our brain to release a dose of endorphins and serotonin, which are things, the chemicals responsible for our moods and how happy we feel. And we all know that we're constantly chasing endorphins throughout our lives. Now, this so-called addiction to reading can make it difficult for us to choose our next read. And the reason is as logical as it gets. Each new book we choose to read is a chase for endorphins. We're chasing the high that we received from our previous book. So always putting pressure on this decision. I you understand? I feel like I did not say what I wanted to say. Well, I'm going to give myself a second to try and understand what I was trying to say. I'm saying that every new book we choose to read is a new chase for the endorphins high we received from our previous book. Now, always putting pressure on this decision because of our desire to start a book that is at least as good as our previous one usually leaves us unable to decide what our next book should be. The pressure is just too much. We are always chasing the same high, like we are some crackheads. And we cannot move like crackheads in this reading life. If not, we're going to end up like crackheads. Have you seen crackheads? Okay? Like the version of being a crackhead is going through a reading slump. It's not pretty. Because you're just upset. Because you really want to read. And nothing is just making sense. Because you are still hung up on chasing a high from the last book you finished reading. All right. Also, no, that's it. Those are the only two reasons I can think of for why it would be so difficult to find the next read. Luckily, I am here to provide solutions for this problem and strategies we can apply to how we can organize our reading in order to overcome this. I have overcome this, I think, most times, but whenever I feel myself slipping, it's easier to catch myself because of these strategies that I have put in place. Are you ready? Do you have a pen and paper? Okay, let's go. Number one, which is very easy. Number one is very easy. See if your favorite authors have written anything new. This is a solid option if you already have go-to authors you know you can rely on. If you are listening to this podcast, I want to believe you're already an avid reader. So you have authors that you like, you gravitate towards. Everybody has their favorite author or authors. I mean, we all have space for more than one people to love. Once you're a reader, you are naturally polygamous. Yeah? Yeah, you can love a lot. Let's not deceive ourselves. If you're a reader, you can love more than one person. Because, hello. All right. So, whether it's their writing style or the way they build the action of a novel or the themes their books are about, there's always something that makes us resonate more with certain writers than we do with others. Yeah? So, as we read and our taste in books develop over time, we usually find authors that we resonate with. A good strategy for making it easier to decide what your next book should be is sticking with the writers you love. Check their backlist. Have you finished reading all the books they've written? Now, if you've met an author at their debut stage and they haven't released any book yet, another approach is to see what your favorite authors are getting into themselves. Personally, I like to poke around to see what my favorite authors are reading for inspiration. I follow them on Instagram or Twitter to see if they are dropping recommendations or books that they've read. I listen to podcasts where they've been interviewed. I read interviews online so that they can share what has been inspiring them, because if it's inspiring them, there is at least a 50% chance that it would hook me too. Okay? And if your favorite authors have newsletters, subscribe. They might be dropping something. Also, you would know when the date of their next book is coming out. You have to keep up with these people. You know? You have to be in the know of your favorite authors. So that's my first tip. Check out what your favorite author is up to, what they're reading, or what they've written. Use that to choose the next read. Okay? Number two, communicate with like-minded readers on social media. There's a reason book recommenders are very popular. There's Bookstagram, you have BookTok, you have BookTube, Book Twitter, people, book threaders, breaders, I don't even know what we call ourselves anymore, but these platforms give us the chance to actually interact with fellow readers and be part of the book world hype. So if you're struggling to read a book to read, what did you just say? I mean, hey, blood of Jesus. If you are struggling to pick a book to read, click on any of those profiles that you have been following because you like their book pictures. And if there's a book, if you see, this is always my rule of thumb for finding readers on social media that I might click with. If they have, say, more than 100 posts, if I check the reviews of like 10 books that I have read on their page and they liked it, rule of thumb is there's a possibility any other book that they post that I haven't read and that they enjoyed, I might enjoy it too. So I will give it a chance just because of that. Yeah? Okay. Number 3, diversify within genres you already like. Yeah. I like to encourage people to get out of their comfort zone a little bit. Especially those of us from this part. We grew up reading books by Caucasian people. So, for instance, if you've been reading a lot of psychological thrillers by white authors and you want to pick a new book to read, look for a psychological thriller by a non-Caucasian author, you know? See, like, shake it up a little bit. And by the way, if we're talking psychological thrillers and you've been reading only white people, I need to redirect you to East Asian crime writers. Your life will never be the same. Okay. Number 4. Experiment smartly. Experiment what? Experiment smartly with something new. Now, maybe you've exhausted psychological thrillers or like fantasy or family dramas or, I don't know, mid-century gothic novels for the time being, and you feel ready to venture into a different direction. When you enter a new category, a new genre, pick books that overlap with something that you already like. For instance, if you normally read romance, pick up a novel in a different genre but has a heavy romance subplot. You know, if you are a non-fiction reader, for instance, and you like reading like science and psychology type books, pick up science fiction that would appeal to you in that interest range. Do you know what I mean? Like, just experiment smartly, mix and match. That's what I mean. Experiment smartly. You can always, move like a, what do they call it? Be like a chameleon. Just try something, but smartly. You know, just don't just like randomly dive from, say, let me see, fantasy straight to what? What other genre? To literary fiction, you know? You can look for stuff with magical realism in it to gently move into the literary fiction realm. Do you know what I mean? Okay. Now, number 5. This one is something I do when I'm in a store or at a library, or I have like maybe 5 books in front of me and I'm trying to see which one fits my mood. I read the first chapter. So take time to read the book's first chapter to get a feel for the writing style. The first chapter of a book should capture you almost immediately. Me, I don't like to waste time. If you don't like the first chapter, you might not like the rest of the book. There are some slow burns. Yes, I get it. But you have to be feeling the slowness of the burning. Does that make sense? So give the first chapter a shot. And if you are itching to read more, chances are you found your next book to read. Now, try this tip when you have, like I said, if you're in a store, you're about to buy a book, or you have some books in front of you that you're debating on which one to read next, just try this tip and let me see if it works. Because it works for me. Also, if you're about to get like an audiobook, you can always like sample the audiobook a little bit to see if you like the narrator or you like what they're talking about. Now, finally, join a book club. Yeah, sometimes it can be stressful thinking of what to read next. It can be stressful and overwhelming, and there's just no time. So this is a foolproof method of never running out of things to read. You either join a book club or you join a reading challenge, like the Something Bookish Reading Challenge, by the way. That way, what you read suddenly becomes someone else's problem. All you have to do is stick with the reading list imposed by the challenge creators or the book club hosts. That's it. I mean, sometimes it can backfire from time to time because it can backfire. But being part of a community increases your interest in reading, and it makes you feel like you're a part of something bigger. And it just takes a lot of the pressure off your shoulders. And if you do not like the book, as long as the challenge host or the book club host is a useful member of society, you can just let them know that you kind of fucked up with this pick, but you have given me some nice picks in the past, so what, I'm just going to remain with you. But for this particular book you chose, you fucked up. Also, the thing about book clubs is you get to understand a little bit more why you do not enjoy a particular book. And that's key in moving forward in your reading experience. When you can identify exactly what you do not like in a book, it's easier for you to identify books that you would enjoy. That's why sometimes I don't feel bad when I read books that suck, because it helps me know if I was going to start a book, for instance, and it had elements of a book I did not enjoy, immediately I just know this one is not going to be for me. I am moving on. You know, we're growing. Your taste is evolving. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those are my 6 strategies in choosing your next read. I hope with all these tips, you're able to find your next read easily. Or you can just ask me, you know. I like playing games sometimes. If somebody doesn't know what to read, I just tell them to like share what they read that they enjoyed, or books that they did not enjoy, and to explain to me why they did not enjoy the books that they did not enjoy. And then I'll be able to recommend a few books to them. You can just ask me. Or create a relationship with your online friends so that you people can like banter and chat about books through Buddy Reads, for instance. So yeah, those are my tips on choosing what to read next. I really hope this helps. Now, a quick reminder before I leave. If you're participating in the reading challenge, be sure to share your progress using the hashtag SomethingBookishReadingChallenge. If you need more recommendations, check out the challenge page on Storygraph. If you don't find what you're looking for, just send me a message. I'm always ready to talk books. Okay? That's it, y'all. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would love to read or hear any comments or feedback you have, and you can do that by sending me a message on Twitter or Instagram at Lipgloss Mafia. That's LipGlossMafia. Subscribe now or follow so you don't miss out on the next episode, which is available on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. If you enjoyed this podcast, kindly spread the book love by spreading the word. If you're listening on Apple Podcast or Spotify, rate and leave a review. It really helps new listeners find the show. And you know, shares and reviews are my love language. Yay! Thanks in advance. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you for listening. Readers, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And like Jim Rohn said, reading is essential for those who seek to rise above the ordinary. Happy reading, everyone. Bye.